Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Two things investors want to hear today. The Treasury Secretary saying the trade war with China will de-escalate in the near future. And President Trump said this about Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates.
Well, that sent stocks higher today. Some bad earnings news for Tesla, though. Profits at the electric car company plunging a staggering 71% first quarter this year since CEO Elon Musk took a major role in the Trump administration. Musk on an earnings call saying from now on he's going to be spending more time at Tesla, less in Washington. Lori Daybell, the mother convicted of murdering two of her children in a so-called doomsday plot, now found guilty of conspiring with her brother to kill her fourth husband. A 3,200-acre raging wildfire burning in southern New Jersey in the Pine Barrens, just 5% contained. This is ABC News. An emotional moment in court when family members of victims in a mass shooting spoke to the killer.
It was 2019 when self-described white nationalist Patrick Crucius walked into an El Paso Walmart and opened fire. 23 victims were killed. Crucius pleading guilty during victim impact statements in a stunning moment. Yolanda Tinajero, who lost her brother in the shooting, hugged the mass killer who took her brother's life.
I feel in my heart to hug you very tight so you could feel my forgiveness, especially my loss.
The judge allowed her to walk over and hug Crucius. He was sentenced to life in prison. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Los Angeles Innocence Project claims evidence shows Scott Peterson was wrongfully convicted in the 2002 deaths of his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son. A petition filed with California Appellate Court says incorrect dates were given for when Lacey's body was dumped. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game three of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I identify with that film, in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly clear to partly cloudy sky the overnight. Light winds and temperatures dropping to the lower 40s. On Wednesday, we'll see a chance of showers and storms, partly sunny skies, a light south breeze in the afternoon as highs climb to near the 70-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the great privileges that I've had in my career is that some of the folks that I've been able to meet through government service, and now by doing this show with all of you every day, is that some of the people who you come across eventually become friends. And it is especially and deeply humbling when those people are also people whom you admire a great deal. And my next guest, I am very proud and humbled to call not just a friend, but someone who I look to as a mentor and someone who is a thoughtful public servant, honest even when painful, and an all-around great guy. It's a real pleasure, Peter, to have you with me today on my last day in this 2-4 time slot, ladies and gentlemen. I got former Congressman, former Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, Peter Barca. Welcome back to the show, Peter.
Well, great to be with you, Maggie. I'm back at you. It's terrific to be with you once again. I've done the show quite a few times, and it's always very intellectually intriguing and usually pretty vibrant discussions.
Yes.
And now there's more to talk about than maybe in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It seems that I am always breathless, not because or just because of my emotional state, but breathless because it's almost impossible to get through all of the important news of the day, even in 2 hours.
Right.
Peter, I wanted to ask you about Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, whom just said some really bonkers stuff about 9/11. And my take is that Ron Johnson has always been sort of a ready and willing peddler of falsehoods. And Ron's a smart man. You know, I don't think he believes much of this stuff, but Ron knows how to use both techno speak and like the right little nugget of truth to sort of fool the unwitting into believing the big lie, right? And he recently said some stupid things, untrue things, conspiracy theories, if you will, about one of our nation's greatest tragedies, 9/11. Let's take a listen. This conversation that the senator had over a long period of, it was much longer. We've distilled it down to its most essential nugget.
Okay.
So take a listen, Peter.
Because I'm not familiar with
I love it. I love it. We can learn together. Let's take a listen. This is Senator Ron Johnson. I believe this news broke just yesterday.
What would you like to know about September 11th, the official story there, Senator?
Well, start with Building 7. Again, I don't know that you can find structural engineers other than the ones that had the corrupt investigation inside NIST that would say that that thing didn't come down in any other way than a controlled demolition. I mean, you just look at that. You talk about molten steel. Again, you listen to the documentary Bravo 7. There's an awful lot of questions.
An awful lot of questions? A controlled demolition? I mean, what the man's saying, at least by my listen, Peter, and I've listened to the longer cut, it's basically 9/11 was an inside job. Like, somebody meant to do this. The government knew about it. This wasn't a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
What a disgrace to the memory of all those people who died that day. But what a... Ron Johnson's stock and trade seems to have become betray the middle class and betray fundamental... your obligation to tell the truth as an elected official in a way that undermines democracy. I mean, he's a January 6th conspiracy theorist. He's the old mouthwash cures COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming's good because less Wisconsinites will die. Screw the, you know, states on the coast and anybody, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa. And now this. I mean, when you hear this from someone who holds one of the most powerful positions in all of government. I mean, there's only 100 senators. You're a longtime public servant, Peter. What's your immediate reaction to that, both on an intellectual and just an emotional basis?
Well, it's shocking on so many different levels. I mean, first of all, his implication that NIST somehow jimmied the evidence to cover, you know, to protect this cover-up is just shocking. I mean, I just don't know, you know, what interest, and you know, they would have in doing that. But then secondly, the other thing that's sort of just so puzzling about it is George, you know, W. Bush was president. So it was a Republican president. I mean, if you were going to implicate a Democratic president, which he does with great regularity, that would be one thing. So it's hard to understand, like, does he feel like George Bush did this in order to make himself look good, then stand up for, you know, the American people? I mean, I have no idea what in the world he's trying to
the end game
suggest or what the point is of bringing this up. I mean, he obviously must feel that somehow, you know, there was some inside job. It's what he's claiming. But I think it really cries out for, you know, for him to come clean and say, okay, then tell us what it is that you suspect and why you think that there was some inside effort here.
And, well, I mean, his claim, just in the clip we heard, and I've heard similar allegations, that, hey, I'm a structural engineer, and I don't think it was possible for this building or that to come down in this way. My response to that as a lawyer, right, is I heard, for example, bite mark experts tell me that they had exact matches based on certain science. I have heard fire marshals tell me, well, this is clearly arson because of this burn pattern. And it was wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, science isn't completely infallible. And finding one or two, you know, tail of the bell curve structural engineers that provide an opinion that that couldn't happen when I'm sorry, Ron. What other controlled tests of jet engine fuel-based explosions in large towers of nearly 90 stories have you seen? But like,
right. No, that's perfectly expressed, Maggie, because, you know, like you said so articulately, maybe it is the end of the bell curve that something of this would occur. But then again, you know, there aren't a lot of instances where we've been able to study this. Now, granted, you know, science can replicate things
correct.
In a lab. But, you know, labs are not perfect either because, you know, it doesn't control wind flow. It doesn't control other independent variables that could have come to play here. But to get off the wonkiness side of the equation, I mean, it's like, you know, he must have some theory then of who he thinks is
right.
responsible for this. So he should say who in the world it is. I mean, you know, as you indicated, he's in a very powerful position. There aren't too many people that have been elected to three terms.
And have access to people often presume, right? You hear a senator or even a crackpot like MTG say certain things, and people assume you're in a better position to know than I am. I don't know any structural engineers. I might not know what NIST is. By the way, I think it's the National Institutes of Science and Technology.
That's exactly it. I mean, you've got people who are engineers that, you know, they obviously, as he indicated, came to the conclusion that most people would rightfully come to, because, you know, we did in fact find out what terrorists were responsible for this. And
right.
Thankfully we got the mastermind of it all. So why he thinks that there was some other inside collaborator on this Building 7, I think he's referring to, I mean, just it defies common sense. So, but even if he does have some theory, then he has a responsibility, not just throw out things like he unfortunately does way too often.
Yes.
Without any evidence, without any, you know, completing the theory, and instead just fomenting people's fear and worst instincts that maybe we do have bad people at play here. And, you know, kind of feeds this whole, you know, deep state theory that there's this deep state of people controlling everything.
Yeah,
and
their names are like healthy. Pete Hegseth, Samuel Alito,
at
Clarence
this point,
Thomas.
That's right. I mean, right. Sadly, at this point, you know, we've got serious issues here. But nonetheless, you can't, you know, responsibly put things out like that and then not complete the sentence and complete where it is you're coming from. I just think it's totally irresponsible, and it's unfortunate.
Folks, we got former congressman and former secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker, friend of mine, now a friend of each and every one of you. I'll just say this about Ron Johnson. Everybody knows that friend from, I don't know, high school or college that is the BS artiste of like the highest level, where they drop a couple techno speak terms and they kind of sound like they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But because you've known this person for a long time, you're like, nah, they're just full of it. They read something about 5 minutes ago or heard somebody that actually knew what they're, and now they're just spitting it out. Rojo reads like that to me every time I hear him talking, except when Rojo defends all of the tax loopholes and tax breaks for the richest of rich, rich, rich Americans. So I wanted to talk with you about this next, Mr. Peter Barker, and that is the influence of money in politics. Let's start with a really simple question, because we got to take care of a little business, then we'll come back on the other side. Here's my question. Peter, if you were a member of Congress or a senator or a governor, would you support a constitutional amendment to declare that money is not speech and that we can regulate the spending of money in political campaigns?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely. I have in the past. I continue to. I think it's one of the most corrosive effects on, you know, elected, you know, politicians today, and just, you know, they have an inordinate effect. And Citizens United, I believe, is one of the worst decisions ever. But, you know, the irony of Citizens United and Justice Scalia, who wrote, you know, at great length on this opinion, one of the things that he includes, which people forget, and even though I disagree with his decision to be for Citizens United, he also said that what needed to go along with that was complete transparency on where the money came from. And we don't have any of that.
Folks, we got former Congressman, Secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker. You're going to want to keep it locked. We continue to discuss the actual deep state and the actual swamp that comes from billionaire overlords deciding policy that impacts good middle-class families like yours and mine right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. Our great discussion continues. 855-752-4842. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is, the question that you raise
about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Naughton. I've got a great guest with me to close out this half hour. His name is Peter Barca. He is a former congressperson for this great state of Wisconsin and former secretary of the Department of Revenue, among other roles. He has served the public with great aplomb and integrity for many years. Thanks so much for being here, Peter. We were talking about money in politics. And the fact that every single poll, and more perhaps most importantly for this discussion, polls by very conservative organizations, the Cato Institute, American Enterprise Institute, pick your poison. When they poll, over 85, sometimes over 90% of Americans don't like the level of money in politics, and yet we can't seem to get to a place where elected officials are actively advocating for a constitutional amendment because the Supreme Court declared that money is speech and corporations are people. And so there is this unlimited fire hose of money going into elections. We've seen the most expensive Supreme Court election in our nation's history. How do we fix this? How do we make it better?
Well, I mean, there's a group called End Citizens United. They endorse me because I want End Citizens United. And people need to continue to speak out. I'm glad when they put this on referendums in the most Republican areas, they pass overwhelmingly because people understand that their influence in government is diminished dramatically when you can have these techno, you know, corporations like just control exactly what's going to happen here in America. And it's not in the public interest. And you know, it's worse than it's ever been because, you know, as we said before the break, you know, Justice Scalia, while he was for it, and I'm certainly not, but he at least said, well, we at least have to have transparency. We have no transparency. There's all this dark money coming into politics today by these groups you never heard of, like, you know, Citizens for a Better Democracy or Citizens for Change, right? And who knows if the, you know, Chinese are funding it, the Russians, the Iranians. We have absolutely no idea where that money's coming from. And you know, we're more vulnerable than ever because people, sadly, are so dependent now on social media for their news, which has no checks and balances and no responsibility behind what they put on the air. I mean, CBS, ABC, any regular station can be sued if they say things that are completely false and have been. And but you can put anything you
and
want
on Facebook.
And
paid settlements, even when what they've said wasn't completely false or otherwise constitutionally protected. Just to give people a flavor, I dare any conservative Trump supporter to call me and make an argument that Donald Trump isn't a guy that revels in people trying to buy influence with him. I mean, that's sort of the Trump brand, right? And if you don't believe me, here's a little recent gut check on this. The Easter egg roll, the White House Easter egg roll had no less than 11 activities. This was just yesterday with corporate sponsors. Can you guess who they were, Peter? The cryptocurrency company Gala hosted a digital egg hunt. Betty Crocker Dessert hosted a cookie decorating station. Paz ran an egg coloring activity. But of course, we got into sponsorship by Amazon and a whole other Google's, YouTube. Meta was sponsoring an AI-powered experience and photo opportunity. Yet again, Amazon there. Yeah, weird. Funny. We're now selling off little bits and pieces of the old Easter egg hunt. The corruption is real. We all hate it. We got to do something about it. What was the organization that you mentioned, Peter? I want to give that some airtime again.
Oh, and Citizens United. Yep.
Go check that out. Here's another one, folks. Please go check out Master Plan Podcast. The guy who created the podcast, and that's masterplanpodcast.com, was a guest on my show when I was doing the Maggie and the Millionaires segment. And he goes through the entire history from Buckley v. Vallejo all the way through Citizens United. Buckley v. Vallejo was decided in 1976, y'all. It was the first time the Supreme Court was like, man, maybe we can't regulate money in politics. And here's what I will promise every single one of you. If you go check this out, you will be astounded. Since 1976, and then it got worse after the Citizens United decision. Look up, and you can ask for, you could ask your favorite AI bot for a plot, a graph plot showing income inequality, union membership, voting participation. Pick a metric. Pick what you think might reflect, hey, is our economy working for most of us most of the time? Pick your metric about, is democracy functioning for us? Whatever it is. And I guarantee you, you will see breaking points at 1976 and after Citizens United that basically show when a Supreme Court, when our system says money equals speech and makes corruption legal in our system, guess what? Our government works in general more often for the betterment of the wealthiest among us. Big shock. The wealthy can buy influence. The government works better for them, less for us. Peter, I
never heard of that podcast, Maggie, but that's
check it out.
I'm going to check it out.
Check it out. Another one is AmericanPromise.net.
That one I'm aware of.
Yep. That is a good one for listeners. Mm-hmm. We'll put these resources on our show notes. Again, that's End Citizens United. The other one is MasterPlanPodcast.com. The last one is AmericanPromise.net. Right. Very briefly, Peter, and I mean very briefly, you're a Harvard graduate. What does the Trump administration's attacks on Harvard and higher education portend for, say, the church people may be attending?
It's huge and it's sad. It's really shameful, frankly. And ironically, the whole pretense for this, and I'm not a graduate, though, but I did go to graduate school there. And but Harvard, their chapter of Hillel, which is a global advocacy organization for Jewish college students, and that's the whole pretense for going after Harvard and many of these universities. They said last week on social media, despite positive elements of the government's demands, the current escalating federal assault against Harvard, shuttering political life-saving research, targeting universities' tax exempt standards, and threatening all student visas actually is bad for us. Mm. So,
that's from Hillel, an advocacy, global advocacy, anti-Semitism support for Jewish students within the university structure, saying this ain't good for any institution. If they can go after Harvard, which of your businesses, your place of worship, or your other private institutions are next on the hit list? We've got Dr. Marty Kanarek joining us next to talk about the lead paint crisis in MPS schools. You're going to want to keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Two things investors want to hear today. The Treasury Secretary saying the trade war with China will de-escalate in the near future. And President Trump said this about Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates.
All that sent stocks higher today. Some bad earnings news for Tesla, though. Profits at the electric car company plunging a staggering 71% first quarter this year since CEO Elon Musk took a major role in the Trump administration. Musk on an earnings call saying from now on he's going to be spending more time at Tesla, less in Washington. Lori Daybell, the mother convicted of murdering two of her children in a so-called doomsday plot, now found guilty of conspiring with her brother to kill her fourth husband. A 3,200-acre raging wildfire burning in southern New Jersey in the Pine Barrens, just 5% contained. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis, the final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game three of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly clear to partly cloudy sky. The overnight light winds and temperatures dropping to the lower 40s. On Wednesday, we'll see a chance of showers and storms, partly sunny skies, a light south breeze in the afternoon as highs climb to near the 70-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. We have entered the last half hour in this time slot for the Maggie Dawn Show. Remember to set your watches and calendars. Tomorrow, you can find me on this fine radio network starting at 4 p.m. That's where you'll find me every Monday through Friday going forward in that drive time slot. We're going to have some fun, hopefully educate, share some ideas with one another. And I'm really happy to have my final guest for my time slot today, none other than Dr. Marty Kanarek, who is an expert in epidemiology, teaches about air pollution, human health, and environmental health at Wisconsin's flagship university, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is a professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. He received his PhD in epidemiology from the University of California at Berkeley and his master's in public health and environmental health from the University of Minnesota. He worked for the U.S. EPA in its infancy, I'll say, from 1972 to 1978 before coming to Wisconsin. This man knows of whence he speaks, and he's going to share some of that knowledge with each and every one of you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kanarek, for joining us today. Let's just jump right into the lead problem that we're seeing in public schools. Is this something that is isolated to large urban school systems, or is this something that parents need to be paying attention to regardless of where their children may be attending school?
Thank you for the great introduction. It's great to be here. Lead is a toxic problem in every urban area where there are old houses that have old lead paint in them. Lead is a, you know, we talk about different environmental substances and how bad they are, but lead, the effect of lead on the brains of kids is the best researched thing we have in our field. It said lead makes the mind go away. So this incident in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Public Schools, is serious because it's lead, but we've been fighting the war against lead for 100 years. And in many ways, we've done a great job. You know, there are thousands and thousands of old houses in each inner city, and we're trying to get rid of the lead in them. And it's just, and we've lowered the lead levels from dust, from the old paint, and we've taken out lead pipes, and we've removed lead from gasoline. But our research has shown there's no safe level of lead. So we've lowered our level of concern. So in Milwaukee schools, the level of lead they found is probably 20 years ago, we would have said that's no problem. But our research now shows that it is a problem.
Folks, that's Dr. Marty Kanarek from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, professor of population health sciences and environmental studies. So If a parent has a child that's attending a school that was built prior to 1978 and they've got a concern about lead, what's your advice to them, Dr. Marty? Is it sufficient to do annual blood tests when they go in for their physical with their pediatricians? If a parent is extraordinarily concerned, what would you recommend to help put parents' minds at ease?
Well, it is go to their doctor. And once a year, the doctor should do a finger prick test. It's very simple. It hardly even hurts. They put a lollipop right quickly into the kid's mouth. And it's a little capillary tube of blood, and they get any lab in many places can do a test. If they're concerned right now, if there's, you know, those seven schools, if the parents are concerned, they can get a blood test at their doctor's office's lab. A finger prick test. If they don't know where to go to get the test, the local health department will help. So getting a test is what we recommend for blood lead.
Yeah, and to keep getting those tests to monitor it, especially because lead's bad for any of us at any age. But as you were explaining, Dr. Kanarek, it is worse and potentially life-altering in terms of cognition and brain development for kids who are exposed to any level of lead. So be on top of that. I wanted to expand our focus a bit, Dr. Kanarek, and ask you generally to speak to people who I think in good faith, perhaps under or misinformed, are challenged and are concerned about vaccination protocols, just the general approach to vaccinations and some of the information that's out there, their safety and efficacy, especially when it comes to kids. Obviously, we've had an administration change, a lot of different change in focus. When you're speaking, if there's a parent listening right now that is trying to weigh the pros and cons of complying with a physician, the AMA recommended vaccination schedule for their newborn infant and their other small children, what's your message to them, Dr. Kanarek, as they weigh that decision?
Vaccines are totally safe and totally important. The kids should get their MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella vaccines. The idea of vaccines being dangerous is, it's been investigated all over the world by scientists, and the vaccines are totally not only safe, but important to keep your kids healthy.
So critical. If people are challenged by that and they are looking for different kinds of information, one of the concerns I've heard expressed to people is, gee whiz, I used to go to the Centers for Disease Control website and feel confident in reading the information presented there. As a researcher, Dr. Kanarek, as a scientist, if people are looking and they're seeing things on social media about vaccinations, they're hearing from people who may be famous because they see them in the news every day. Where do you recommend, Dr. Marty, for people to go to test or to check up on some of the things that they may hear alleged or stated on social media or from other sources about particular vaccines or other
environmental toxins?
Exactly. Thank you.
I mean, traditionally, we would go to the Centers for Disease Control site, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency site. If you're having, you know, in this new era of government, if you're worried about them, I would go to the Mayo Clinic site, the Cleveland Clinic site. I mean, they are not affected by government shutdowns and stuff. So there are those legitimate medical sites. If you want to learn about lead or vaccines, Mayo Clinic is always accurate.
Mayo Clinic right in our backyard here, our neighbors in Minnesota to our west here. Is it a good idea for people to try to consume or understand actual published medical literature or other scientific studies?
Well, that's a tough thing to do. We teach medical students and graduate students how to decide what's the difference between a good study and a bad study. That's pretty tough. So it's nice if we can have some authority sites that we really trust. I looked up lead on the Centers for Disease Control site, and it's totally accurate today. So I hope it doesn't change. And I didn't look up vaccines, but it talks about all the neurodevelopmental effects on children and the ways to prevent and all the different exposure pathways and ways to prevent them in children and to give your kids good calcium and iron foods. And it's a totally accurate site for lead exposure anyway.
Does it remain a good option for people to ask their family physicians, to ask, to reach out to research institutions or places like, again, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic? Is it okay to give them a call? Will they be able to direct people to the right places? Is, again, talking to your family physician, does that remain a good source for people to go to?
That should be, yes. They get these same questions over and over, so they do their homework, and if you trust them, I would trust their knowledge. I would definitely do that. I trust my my internist. He does his homework.
Yes, as do I. That is one area of expertise I have not a whit. Folks, we've got Dr. Marty Kanarek from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. He's a professor of population health sciences and environmental sciences. We've been talking primarily about lead and its risk to young children, given the challenges that we've seen in the Milwaukee public school system with lead exposures in at least seven of their school buildings that were built before 1978.
Milwaukee, you know, it seems like this is an extraordinarily bad event. But remember Flint, Michigan, 2015, the water supply. We always discover new places where lead is and kids are being exposed. Now, the Milwaukee Health Department and the state of Wisconsin have been fighting the war on lead, getting it out of old houses, getting it out of gasoline, getting it out of paint, getting it out of the soil, remediating windows. They've been doing a great job. We've lowered the levels that kids are exposed to in lead. That we found it in these schools, and apparently they didn't do a great job with cleaning it up and having the kids go back into the schools. That was a mistake. But we have, it's a strange thing where we're winning the war against lead, but then we still have to fight the war against lead. We've lowered the amount of kids exposed to lead and the amount they're exposed to, but we can't give up because we know there's no safe level.
What I hear you saying, Dr. Kanarek, is we can feel confident that our understandings and the remediation that has happened both locally and nationwide on a state and local and federal level has been very effective in lowering the aggregate or total overall risk that lead poses. But we still need to be vigilant as to our own individual children, but not panic, to inform ourselves, to test our kids, to be aware of our surroundings and take reasonable precautions. Is that a fair way of summarizing what you've said, Dr. Marty?
That's fair. And of all the pollutants you hear about that might affect kids' brains, lead is the one. I mean, mercury is the second. But, you know, we hear about other chemicals and the research on that is still, you know, questionable or debatable. But lead is really bad for kids' brains. So being concerned is really a good thing.
Thanks so much for that. And smacks of such common sense and intentionality and deliberateness, Dr. Marty. I think it's good that we all remind ourselves to proceed reasonably and not in a panic state. I wanted to ask you just very generally as we wind up this segment, Dr. Marty, when we look at the impacts of climate change on overall human wellness and folks and our families' wellness in this state of Wisconsin, can you help people put the dots together? Because this is a place where I've heard a lot of people say, maybe one of our senators say, well, climate change is good for Wisconsin because fewer people will die from the cold. Can you just give us a sense of how this actually fits together?
Climate change or global warming, it is not good for anybody. We all have children. We're all going to have children and grandchildren, and we want them to live in a world that is livable, that where we don't have malaria in Wisconsin, which we will soon have, that the earth will change. The earth will be here, but I don't know how inhabitable it'll be for people if we keep on disregarding climate change and not stopping fossil fuels and converting to sustainable energy, change our whole energy system. The health effects of climate change are going to be real.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Dr. Marty. I would love to have you come back and talk more, maybe even walk through some of the basic pillars in your foundational class, Introduction to Environmental Health, so that we can understand that better. A big thank you to Dr. Marty Kanarek, Professor of Population Health Sciences and Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Happy Earth Day. Happy Earth Week to you, Dr. Marty.
Happy Earth Day. I appreciate you.
We'll be back with some final thoughts. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, doctor, the advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know that as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Just for fair disclosure, me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. The bottom line, as I know, and you should know too, you can be raised by a single mom and still not be a jackass.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, just a wee trip down memory lane, if you will indulge me for a moment. This is a pretty big change for me and all of you coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be moving to the 4 to 6 drive time slot. And I wanted to just give some thanks and appreciation to everyone that I have worked with and the folks, especially who put me on air way back in the day. Which was in 2018. Back in 2018, if you're new to the show, I was Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. And in March, I sued the opioid manufacturers and distributors for the harm that they caused to Milwaukee taxpayers by killing our friends and relatives, coworkers, family members, neighbors. That lawsuit has to date generated north of $250 million in total payouts over the next some 16 years to Milwaukee County. It's the single largest set of settlements ever recovered by a local government in Wisconsin history. It was history-making when the lawsuit was filed. And as a result, my colleague Earl Ingram, who hosted his last regular morning show program this morning, asked me to come on his radio show. And if you've been listening to me for a few minutes or a few times, you know this gal can talk. You know thyself. I like to gab. And Earl brought me on to his show, and we got along extraordinarily well, had a great discussion. We went beyond the wrongdoing, the criminality of Purdue Pharma, the Sackler family, and so many others in the opioid and pharmaceutical industry, and went into other political topics. And the dotted, you know, the dot, dot, dot between that moment and today has been a blur, though it counts now nearly 7 years. And so I want to say, firstly, thank you to Earl Ingram, who was the first person that ever interviewed me on the radio. And I think Earl's connection to the city of Milwaukee, his willingness to reach out to leaders and people that work in government and in advocacy organizations whose names you don't often see in the paper or ever see in the paper is extraordinary. And he continues and will continue to do that kind of work for civic media in a new role. I look forward to watching and continuing to listen to Mr. Earl Ingram. I also want to give thanks to Mike Crute, who ultimately gave me my own show on what eventually morphed into civic media. And he gave me that show back in 2018. I did that for nearly 2 years. Wasn't a lot of radio, about 2 hours a week. Seemed like a ton back then with my other full-time job, 2 hours a week. And I ended my program back then because going into the 2020 election, I thought, this might get a little dicey. And since I've got my full-time job, I'm going to focus just on that, and glad I did. I oversaw Milwaukee County's defense of multiple lawsuits related to the 2020 election, oversaw the recount, and ultimately the successful defense of the Milwaukee County Election Board's management of that recount when challenged by the Donald Trump campaign. I closed out my public service for Milwaukee County in March of 2024. And that is when I came full-time back to civic media. I had begun doing a daily 6 to 7 p.m. radio show on civic media in 2023. And it was perhaps my young childhood dream come true. Careful what you wish for, to get a two-hour show every day in a daily slot here with civic media. It has been an incredible ride since then. And I just want to say thank you again to Earl, to Mike, to Dominic, who I did a lot of appearances with, who kept this new time slot going, and that I will inherit come tomorrow. But most of all, I wanted to say thank you to Sage Weil, our CEO here at Civic Media, and each and every individual that has worked with me on this program. This program is intense. I am intense. I care a lot about the topics that we cover. I hope that comes through on the air every day. And so supporting this show and making investments in this show to make it the best it can be is intense work because of how we do this. So I want to say thank you to all my colleagues and everyone that has worked to produce this program, including my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, Calvin, who's been on the board with me, Jacob, who's coming in, Jess P.S., who has given great support over time, Aaron Zommers, Sam Davidson, Luke Mathers, Corey Hartman, Chris Casper, and all of you folks at Civic Media who have worked to put me into a position where I may hope to be successful in a new time slot with each and every one of our incredible listeners. But most of all, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you listening and watching. I wouldn't be doing this if you weren't there. I hope that you find both value, cause for alarm, and every day a bit of cause for hope. We have all of these things every day. Our challenge as Americans, as friends, as neighbors, as coworkers, is to hold complicated thoughts, sometimes that are in conflict, in our head at the same time. I'll do my best every day to make the complicated more accessible, to make the politics and the policy more personal. I care about you, and you have my commitment as we continue this journey together to tell the truth the best that I know it, to stand up to bullies, and to stand together to make it better for the vast majority of us. Folks, that's going to do it for me. I'll be back tomorrow on the 4 o'clock slot. You got Matt Rothschild with fresh new content coming up next to close out the 4 to 6 p.m. slot today. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump today criticizing judges who ruled against his administration's effort to deport alleged Venezuelan gang members under the Wartime Alien Enemies Act. At the White House today, President Trump saying there's no time for trials.
We're getting them out, and a judge can't say, no, you have to have a trial. The trial's going to take 2 years, and no, we're going to have a very dangerous country if we're not allowed to do what we're entitled to do.
The so-called doomsday mother, Lori Vallow Daybell, convicted of helping to murder her own children, now convicted of a new crime, this time for the murder of their fourth husband by an Arizona court. The Department of Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration announcing Tuesday a series of measures to phase out 8 artificial food dyes and colorings from America's food supply. The Vatican announcing the body of Pope Francis will lay in state in St. Peter's Basilica starting Wednesday. This is ABC News.